Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome back to part two of episode one of series five of My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm annoying myself there. Sorry, that must be really irritating. You probably just want to get on with the episode. But how are you? No, all right, fine, fair enough. Let's crack on, shall we? Thank you very much for subscribing. Thanks for listening. Here comes the next part of the fabulous Tim Key. Enjoy.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Bass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Let's move on to 2008 and a selection of things which are it's telling a story, and I'm gonna try and get to the end of them before you interrupt me, but I think you're gonna jump in with telling me what's going on. But it's 7th of September 2008, right? Take yourself back. Where are you at this point? Career's going well, living with your brother and his new wife still, or?
Yeah, 2008. No, what am I doing? I'm living in a box room in Limehouse.
Okay. Yeah.
What happened was I moved all of my stuff out of a larger room into this box room right before Edinburgh, and said to the landlord, I'm going to move out after Edinburgh, so can I just leave my stuff in the box room?
Yes.
And he said, yes, that's fine. And then when I came back, I hadn't found anywhere else to live. And so I moved my stuff off the bed, got into the bed, and then stayed there for another 4 years.
Wow, 4 years.
So career's going well. I don't know. Life's going well, but I certainly don't know. I mean, I remember one night where a shelf fell down on top of me and woke me up about 3 a.m. And at that point, it's very difficult to sort of, you know, wipe the sleep out of your eyes and go, no, this is position A.
Oh, I love it. There's something so essentially Tim Key about walking back into your storeroom and going, I might have to live here.
Yeah. I mean, it staggers me. And like any writing and stuff I did, and I was writing stuff then. I was kind of quite prolific.
Yes.
But it was all just, I was sitting on a bed. And I mean, honestly, to a larger extent than you'd like, I was moving my stuff off the bed at night to sleep. And then in the morning, so I had some space to kind of, you know, get my act together in this box room. I was putting stuff onto the bed.
Wow. And that's it?
Yeah. It's not exactly what you want to be doing, really, with your, you know, to be fair, 30s.
Sort of, there's no denying it. That is what you're doing with your 30s. It's sort of domestic Tetris, just kind of moving the bits around.
I think that would have given me great comfort if I'd thought of that name for it.
Domestic Tetris. Yeah. All right, here we go. 7th of September 2008. And the last thing you want to do is fill your tiny room with more tat.
Yeah, but here we go.
The pirate telescope set, hotly followed by the adult pirate hat, hotly followed by the pirate costume feather parrot, hotly followed by a pirate cutlass, an eye patch, and a pirate hook. My question to you is, were you dressing as a pirate?
Well, my question to you is, have you ever heard the phrase barge trip?
Keep talking.
Well, let's be very sensible here.
Okay.
This must be September the what? 5th?
7th?
Yep. This was Alex Horn's 30th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
He went on a barge trip, you know, on a sort of the River Lee.
You dressed as a pirate, didn't you? For the...
I mean, I know where a photo is of this.
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, I'll just show you. Hang on one
second. It's your time you're wasting. I'm happy with that. So Tim's just walked off. He's now not living in a box room anymore. Oh. Oh, wow. So
that is...
Look. Oh, who is that? Who is that?
That's... hang on a minute. That is the scribe in the kitchen.
That's the scribe in the kitchen. Oh, that's Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's delightful. You were both dressed as pirates.
We were all dressed as pirates. And, you know, it was one of the great barge trips. I mean, why I've bought a child's telescope, I don't know. But, I mean, I suppose it's sort of that attention to detail that sort of, because, you know, sets you apart on a barge.
But also, if you're going to be a pirate, you've got to actually, the body language of a pirate is doing that with a telescope, isn't it? It comes.
So you may as well be. You may as well be holding one.
It's a body language pen, isn't it? Essentially, if you.
I would say that they are pirates, and I don't say this lightly. Wrote the book on body language. If you're miming a occupation, exactly. If you're miming an occupation, and you pull a card that says pirate, I mean, I'm exultant. I mean, I'm going through my repertoire.
So we've got the sort of the as if you're punching a child of about 10. First of all, is the first one, isn't it? You do the kind of, you're hooking. There's like a right hook, isn't it? That's a pirate.
Right, like a
yo ho ho.
Yeah, yo ho ho. Yeah.
So that, we'll call that the yo ho ho rather than punching a child. That's
there's the yo ho ho. I mean, you're forgetting about the. I mean, I'm on one leg immediately. I'm pulling one leg up.
Of course.
I'm on one leg immediately. I'll tell you what, another thing I'm doing. I'm getting my hand up on my shoulder and I'm talking to my parrot.
Yes. Well, you've got it. You don't need to use your hand. You've bought a parrot.
I've got a parrot, yes. But I suppose, I think I'm in my repertoire, I'm pulling my sleeve down and getting my hook on. I'm also in my repertoire, if I'm miming a pirate, I'm putting a hand over one of my eyes.
Yes.
So basically, I guess this Amazon trip is looking at my repertoire and turning all of my mimes into physical props.
Yeah. Amazon's made us lazy. That's the thing. You know, you didn't need any of that stuff, but Amazon has made us lazy, so we buy
stuff. I know. I could have just bought a French mime outfit and
Then if you've got a French mime outfit, you've got that available for all fancy dress parties.
Yeah, that's true. What have you come as? French mime? No.
No, mate.
No. That's my base.
Yeah.
That's my base. I'll show you what I've come as. Mm. Oh, I see. Farmer. Mm.
There you go. Exactly. Oh, my days are so embarrassing. I don't remember buying all these silly little strange things. I swear on my life, I was forced by my wife with an ABBA penknife that I bought on ABBA. Wait a minute. Tim Key, Town, Gown and Pirate. Let's move on. 2010, nothing. Again, you just drop off the radar in 2010. So I don't know what's going on
that
there.
That worries me about what I'm up to, because Amazon's totally up and running. 2010, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm solvent. I can buy stuff. So what
things
am
are
I
going
doing?
Fine. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've taken objection to it. Maybe you've deleted everything that happened in 2010. Maybe you didn't need anything, so you didn't buy anything. It's simple.
I've got to say, it's very kind of you to think that I might have, but I'll go on record as saying I've never never taken a stand against Amazon.
Fine. Yeah. That's fine. This is not a podcast of principles. And now, this is very exciting because there's something on the next thing up on your purchase history in 2011. I think I can see behind you. So as I look into your room, Tim, I can see you've got lots of framed Edinburgh posters and things like that, but also a big old notice board with post-it notes, which that's flagging writer for me straight away. And you've bought here for £30 a cork notice board and a load of push pins. For I'd assume a cork notice board, which is behind you. So is this Tim Key the writer in 2011? Is this him planning
I'll
something?
I'll show you actually. You're half right.
Okay, good. Standard.
I think I've got this. Hang on.
All right, he's up again. This has been a very physically active episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. So he's just going to the back of the room and he's getting something just off camera. Oh, he's got a smaller cork board. Oh, it's Diddy. It's a Diddier one.
So.
Oh, look. It's like a baby cork board.
Yeah, because you've got to remember, I'm still, I think, in the box room. So
it's the box room cork board.
That's my show.
You can gauge the success of your career by the size of your cork boards.
Yeah, are you talking to the listeners?
No, well, both you and generally, but you can, because you're stuck in the box room that you've accidentally lived in, and you've only got space for a tiny cork board. And now look at this cork. Your cork board estate is enormous now.
I know. I mean, that is. It's interesting because that's my show from 2011, and when we finish this podcast, I'm writing my show from 2022.
For Edinburgh, or just for the next tour or whatever?
I'm doing actually, you can bang this in here.
Yeah, come on, here we go. Great to have Tim on the show today. What a lovely episode that was. Bit pluggy, wasn't he? Bit pluggy, but never mind. Nigel Planer next week. Cheers, bye now.
Look, I'll be mad not to plug my Soho dates.
Come on.
Have you got Nigel Planer next week?
I have actually.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no, I'm doing a show at the Soho Theatre on the 9th to the 26th of February.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So, but I'm looking at that, and that actually is, that's quite daunting, because I'm looking at that show and thinking, yeah, that seems to be more, that's more like it. Mm. Well, although, no, it's not more like it, but it's more, I mean, it's pretty kind of detailed stuff, and it's pretty, I just worry that I was more organised then, I knew what I was doing more, but
yeah.
But probably under closer examination. I'm going to get one of the cards off it. Hang on a sec.
Okay. Okay. So he's going over to Diddy Corkboard. Yeah. He's getting that one down.
Yeah.
Having a look around there, browsing the old corkboard, trying to work out which one to get. You approached that like you were playing chess. You really took a sort of run up at it and a long look.
Well,
what have you found?
But, you know, you live with your shows for quite a long time, and there's a lot of kind of pain of trying to start you doing your show, and then there's lots of memories of doing your show, and I really loved doing that show.
And the 2011 one, this is
2011, and then eventually, okay. Which I'm not plugging it, and then eventually you put the show down, and that's so weirdly approaching that board is sort of like, yeah, you can do it in one of two ways. You either sort of grab something off it and go, oh, let's have a look, or you, as you get closer, you think, oh my god, this
is good. Is that what you're saying? This is good stuff. Or you're saying,
I just think,
oh,
I was
God.
Just lost in it for a moment, and I think you're lucky to have me back on the podcast. I could have just drifted back into 2011.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah. It was a great show. I was at Edinburgh that year as well. It was a great show.
Oh, were you? What were you doing? What was your show in 2011?
My first solo show. That was the one about about the Billy Piper sex scene. So for my version of a corkboard would just be me telling a slightly rude story about doing a sex scene with Billy Piper.
You do a sex scene with Billy Piper?
Yeah, yeah. I was in Secret Diary of a Call Girl. I had spent 2 days naked with Billy Piper, but that's for a whole...
No, that's for a whole now. What's she like?
Delightful. Delightful, yeah. Of course. She's fantastic. She's beautiful and kind and all the things you'd expect. And yeah, she was great.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to work with Billy Piper.
Yes.
Well,
she
fantastic.
Listens. She listens. So.
If you're out there, Billy, I would like to work with you. And, you know, I think that's not impossible, is it? You know, you've got to have ambition.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you're still very much on the way up, aren't you?
And she's not exactly on the way down, is she?
She's not on the way down. So it's a case of you catching her up, or hopefully she'll start to drop off a bit and just come back down to your sort of level. Because she's gone superstar now, hasn't she? She's like with HBO and stuff like that.
I know, but I can't sort of come on your podcast and sort of put a shout out for Billy dropping off. But if you ever do, Billy, I'm right here.
She should.
You'd have to sort of drop off by quite. No. Well, I'll try and up my game. I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you halfway, Billy.
Your game does not need to be. Your game is doing very well. Thank you very much. There's no distance between you and Billy Piper, and equally there was no distance between me and Billy Piper.
Well, famously,
apart from a modesty pouch made of Lycra, which fell off. So,
well, here's my last word on the sex scene, and that is you're a better man than me. I cannot conceive of a way I would be able to do a sex scene.
I've done a couple, yeah. And yeah, it's awful. Actually, there's no real way around it. In fact, I was going to be, well, you know what, Tim, you get into character, but maybe you don't know about that. And no, that's absolute bollocks. It's a fucking nightmare.
I did a scene, you know, in a shower once, and it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know how these people do it. They're very clever, you know.
It becomes a job quite quickly because it's just loads of, you know, people working, standing around you, and they're all just scratching their asses looking bored. And that really does turn down the embarrassment. A bad sex scene was on Doctors where everyone started giggling. Like the crew started giggling, and it was supposed to be quite a serious scene. But because I'm such a shocking actor, they just started giggling. So, you know, that's fine.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. 30th of September 2012, you've bought a retro style 3-speed record player with a radio attached to it as well.
Yeah.
Vinyl?
I mean, yeah, I love, you know, obviously vinyl.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I'm not like a huge authority on the vinyl or the music of the vinyl, but I like the process of placing a record on a record player and dropping the needle and, you know, seeing who salutes.
Testify, man, testify. Yeah. And flipping it halfway through.
Well, you know, that's the thing, and I feel like it's a good habit to get back into. And I've since actually someone bought me one of those, actually, weirdly, another a nice, you know, nice record player. And so I have one and it works really well and it's really nice, but it's just so easy just to put things on Spotify. But actually, I think it's better process to go, I'm going to listen to this record and make yourself a cup of coffee, put it on, and then after 25 minutes, you're waddling over and turn the record. There's just something good about that hour.
Well, also, if you've made a cup of coffee, the chances are at the halfway point, you might need a wee or something else after the coffee.
Or make another coffee, or something like that.
But it does. Listen, we've talked about it. To be fair, this is a topic we've dealt with a lot on the show. The sort of bemoaning how the Spotify thing has cheapened and just made, no matter how good the music is, if you haven't got a process to put it on, it's just that. It cheapens it and it becomes white noise, no matter how good it is, you know? And so...
You know, I don't want to sort of add to the conversation.
Happy to have you. Happy to have you.
We can leave that there, and I totally agree.
Great.
Basically, if you want me to summarise it, Spotify, pros and cons. One of the biggest examples of pros and cons I've met in my life.
Along with every other day.
Yeah. Every other day...
Mainly cons.
...is not a pros and cons. Every other day is days... You know, I remember a guy went on Clive Anderson and he was talking about decimalising everything. And he was saying, let's get time sorted out.
Oh.
10-day week. You know, 100 seconds in a minute.
Oh, how long would a day be there? Oh, no.
I wouldn't go as far as this guy, but I would say, I mean, the problem is you've got to get a sort of critical mass of countries agreeing to it, haven't you?
Yeah, which is a nightmare. Which is a real nightmare. Imagine having that first. Imagine that first email to try and pitch that.
You would do it by email, would you?
I'd open up with email, or maybe the email to set up the phone call. Can we have a quick chat about something? But I wouldn't tell them what the thing was.
Would you go for a big country first, or would you try and go for a malleable country to give you a bit of weight?
Big and malleable. So I'd go for somewhere like maybe Argentina, huge country. Yep.
That'd be fantastic, and they'd probably be up for it.
Yeah. Famously, we've got a great relationship with them. So, you know, I tell you what, you can have the Falklands back, right? Yeah.
If you commit to an 8-day week. And also, you're going to do the pilot for us. You're going to be the King's Taster. We're going to put you on an 8-day week for the next 5 years.
Yeah. We're not going to do it. Yeah.
If it starts to work, we'll join you.
And as soon as it goes wrong, we'll slag them off. Comedy those dicks did that.
Yeah.
Great beef, terrible working week.
What's the budget history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
30th September 2012. I mean, you mentioned this earlier on, the Kitchencraft Deluxe Fork. It says here small. So in my head, that would be small.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sort of, you know, yet again do my catchphrase of taking the headphones off and going and getting something. But yes, I can't emphasise enough that it's sort of this size. You know, it's a big fork.
Someone called S has given a little, you know, they've given it 5 stars. They don't want to slag the product off, but they're giving you a hint here. They say, lovely medium size fork, ideal for salad. They're letting you know, this is really nice. It's medium. It's not small.
I know. I just have never seen the concept of a cake fork being there to mean I'm cutting a whole cake with a fork to create a slice. I've only seen cake fork in terms of here's your slice, here's your cake fork.
Yes, to eat said slice.
This cake fork that you're looking at on my Amazon account is too big to go in your mouth. It's like when that man puts the whisk in his mouth and come dine with me.
Right. So would this be, this cake fork is more marshmallows on a fire scenario?
No. Okay. This is, I mean, you're getting close to forcing me to getting it, but it's, I'd say marshmallows on a fire is a longer handle and it's two prongs, like a...
Yes, of course it is. Of course
like a cobra's
is.
Tongue. Whereas, whereas this is much more... If it didn't have prongs, and if the prongs were instead, you know, conjoined,
yes,
then it would be a perfectly good thing to slice a cake with. But they've given it prongs. They're still saying slice the cake with it. But it's, I mean, it's.
So how do you eat the cake then? How do you eat it? Do you just?
No. This isn't to eat the cake. This is a cake.
To cut
this
the
is
cake.
A, yeah, it's to cut the cake.
Well, they should call it a cake cutter then, shouldn't they?
Look, I don't want to talk about that fork for much longer.
Would you like to talk about the nude girl paper playing cards you bought in August 2013? Do you want to talk about that?
I'm going to get the fork.
This is August 2013.
August 2013. That's interesting that it's August 2013. Oh, yeah, hang on a minute. Now, August 2013. Yeah, it's because I was doing a show where I read my poems off the back of playing cards.
Oh, fine.
And fine. It was all part of this show. And actually, there was then some playing cards with men on.
Yes, I can see those. I can see those. You bought adult playing cards in June as well. So obviously those got a bit dog-eared and, you know.
It's all part of a master plan for this show that's behind me now. And eventually I hit upon this plan that the show, that I'd be reading off these cards and then start reading off these. There's some with men on. Oh, actually, yeah. That's right. There were some with girls on that were like those kind of 1950s kind of pin-up cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was all kind of like playful. And I think I was like looking at the cards and going, look at that. That's fantastic. That's not hurting anyone. And they're like these illustrations. And then later on, they're quite pornographic, you know, or nude. And then later on, there's some guys. And then later on, I mentioned that I had that one made specially. And then later on, there is a film that we show where it's me making it's the photo shoot with the guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which we shot. We found a guy, and we shot him on a moped with his boy out.
Oh, and, wow!
So it's kind of a long game, and it was quite a big payoff because you sort of thought, I mean, because I'm sort of set, you know, presenting the idea that wouldn't it be mad if literally I'd made my own pack of cards by hiring male models, and then you do see this 1 minute.
I mean, that's so delightful, especially when you do that joke for the first time at the beginning of the show and people like really go with it and laugh because you're like, oh, these guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
Oh, if they're enjoying this.
The guy was fantastic.
Yeah. Who was he? Where did you find a man who's prepared to sit naked on a moped, apart from me, obviously, but you never asked?
I don't know because, I mean, my director, I think he must have asked someone and we found this guy. I mean,
amazing.
To be fair, He married Katie Price.
him!
Later, yeah.
It's that guy. What's his name? I've forgotten his name now. Yeah,
his name's Kieran. He was really nice, and he was really, like, he was lovely. And he was like, really up for it, and just, he was a very sweet guy, very kind of, I really liked him.
Kieran Haler, he married her in 2013 until 2021, when they sadly split up.
Yeah.
His job title.
Go on.
He's got two job titles on Wikipedia. Stripper. That's all simply because he once sat naked on a moped, probably.
Yeah. No, he was stripping the night before in Essex.
Oh wow! And Katie Price's ex-husband. That's his other job title. Oh, he's beef, isn't he? He's got a lovely bod.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's fantastic on this moped, and you know, he took direction very well.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? What a pro. What a pro. Yeah. Patreon.com/toasterpod. Okay, good. All right, so Naked Men on Mopeds. Really touching every base here on My Mate Bought a Toaster today. We have also got, as we move into 2014, a bit more PG Woodhouse. We have got a bit of sport coming through. Andrea Pirlo. You've got David Pearce, The Damned United. I mean, again, great books.
Yeah. Yeah, they're starting to get more. I'm starting to rev up a bit on Amazon now, aren't I?
Yes. 36 orders now. You're cranking up a bit, mate.
Yeah, Damned United. Yeah, one of the great books, I would say. Yeah. And also Red or Dead. I mean, the guy can write. Obviously, that's not in question.
He knows what he's doing. He knows how to use words. Bottle capper for up to 26 millimeters. This is to cap beer bottles with. This is on March 2014. What's this all about?
This is all about now. What is this all about? I mean.
Oh, he's looking around again. He's about to go for another dash.
I think it's over there.
The Tim Key dash. It's so good of you to get all of the props for the show ready in one room. This is fantastic.
Right. So I think this is, it's that, yeah?
Yes, it's that. It's that. That's it. So it looks like a giant sort of pair of pliers, but with a really chunky sort of bit in the middle to put caps on.
Well, it's one of the more, puzzling things because it really rings a bell. I know I bought it to put. I must have been filling bottles and then putting caps on the bottles, but I don't know why. Yeah. What's the date? I mean, it would have been to do with the show.
March 2014. I mean, does it help if I give you some context around it? What else you bought around this time? You bought a Borneo storage box for 90 quid and particularly enjoy this, a Yeoman stiff brush. Really lovely stiff brush here in March. And a zinc watering can. I mean, I think I might be veering into sort of outdoor kind of garden space.
Well, I think I'm in my new flat now, the one I'm in now,
and okay.
I'm you know, I'm probably using my stiff brush to kind of get busy on a barbecue or something.
Lovely.
The bottle, I mean, this is killing me. The bottle, I mean, why did I do? There was a show where, and I definitely remember doing this in Melbourne, but why is the thing?
Good luck getting that device on a plane, because that is something you could torture a pilot with.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, it is.
It's going in the hold, isn't it? It's going in the hold.
Yeah, they wouldn't want that sort of, you know, clamping their thumbs. Look, it's to do with a show, and I don't know what it is. And I remember thinking, I wonder if there's something that can put caps on bottles. I remember finding it. But I guess, but
you can't remember what you were bottling. You don't know what you were bottling. This is a weird sort of.
What was I bottling? I don't know. Like it would be something like a rare, difficult to find beer, which I have established. I'm talking about on stage and I'm drinking from. But in order to,
yes,
I mean, it's sort of slightly coming back to me. In order to use it, I have like only a finite amount of these, and I have to fill them with another beer that I get from elsewhere, which is and then I put the cap on.
But honestly, that works for me because then we're seeing behind the showbiz curtain, how you refill a prop bottle. I like that.
Yeah, but what it is, I do not know. Well, it's killing me that I don't know exactly what it is. But
can I just say how many times I do the show and I get emails or contact from my guests a few days later?
Remember.
Going, it was that. That's why I bought a recorder or whatever.
Yeah.
2015, then Tim. We have got this is interesting. It says Christmaster costume suit. This is 7th of December 2015. And it is a Christmas suit. It's red.
Christmas suit, like they wear at the darts.
Oh, wow.
So this is me and Tom Basden have a sometime double act called Freeze. And we did a Christmas show. And I think I'd spotted this thing somewhere on the internet, bought a couple of these suits. Well, I bought one and he bought a sort of inverse version of it, or a darker one, you know, pretty nice blue one. And we did our show in it. And I think the response was, we walk out on stage and everyone thinks, now those are spicy suits.
Those guys. Yeah, look at them.
Then I think about a month later, I'm watching the darts and there's a lot of people wearing these things. And I'm thinking, I'm less sure about these suits now.
Nothing wrong with looking like a dart audient. Nothing wrong with that at all.
You know, I went to the darts this year and I enjoy going to the darts, but I would say looking like a dart audience is, I think you're good to look like a dart audience if you're in the dart audience. And looking like a dart audience in your general life is not exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, good.
That's not where they want to be. Like, these guys aren't, you know, they're not dressing like Oompa Loompas when they're going to work.
Right. 7th of November 2015. Again, we've got a metal detector. A lightweight beginner's 65 quid. Why, Tim? Please, I just want to know why.
This metal detector. I didn't fall into the trap last time of thinking it was this metal detector, but that's Alex's son's metal detector.
Fine. Okay, lovely present.
And a message back from Horn saying, come on, he's six. He didn't have a clue how to use it. He's too young for it. Metal detectors, I think, are fool's gold. They're never the right thing to get anyone.
Yeah.
In my experience.
I've got one. We got one for the kids, when they were older than six. And we went on the beach and we found fuck all and we used it once at the end. There's a classic Amazon arc right there.
Well, I mean, I thank you for not picking up on my spiralizer. I mean,
yes!
That's straight into the cupboard. God! Do not pass go. I mean, they barely had a courgette put through it.
This is astonishing. Hang on, are you mates with Laura Marling? Am I allowed to say this, or am I crossing a line here?
No, you're not crossing a line.
You brought something for Laura Marling. I'm obsessed with her. I think she's wonderful.
Oh yeah, she's fantastic.
Oh,
I was in a short film with Laura Marling. And then probably, I'm guessing it's probably a book, was it?
Usually
is in these situations.
You bought her. I am a phenomenon quite out of the ordinary. The Notebooks, Diaries and Letters of Daniel Kalms.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's one of those sort of, you know, comes out of a conversation and you sort of go, do you know what? I'm going to get you this book.
Great.
She is, yeah, she's fantastic.
I didn't know Laura Marling acted. How did this come about?
This came about, I think, because the director was a guy called David Elms, and I think he knew her from maybe even from school. Yeah, they're friends.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. I'll look out for that.
It's a good film. It's a good film.
Yes. Name it again for me, please. Once more.
I think it's called Regular.
Regular. Thank you. All right. Listen, Tim. We have gone through so much stuff. I've known you sort of, you know, on and off. We've known each other well enough for years and years. Like, yeah. I'm inside you. I'm deep inside you now. It's an incredible place.
This is the power of the toaster.
It's the power of the toaster. You've said so many things that I'm snipping out on this episode. All right, so lockdown. Obviously, lockdown wasn't ideal for pretty much everyone. You got a book out of it, so can't be too bad.
Yes.
Can't be too bad. This is out now, and it is brilliant. Genuinely, it's beautiful as well. The design that's gone into this is extraordinary. It looks like something like almost like a hymn book or something. Like the font and stuff. It's genuinely wonderful.
Well, this is all about Emily Juniper.
Oh.
Who, do you know Emily Juniper?
Yes, I was at university with her. She used to get one of my best mates at uni. She's glorious. She's glorious.
Fantastic. She was very excited that I was going to go on this.
Oh, great. That's why you did it, isn't it? That's what it was. It was the Juniper effect. I love Emily Juniper. She has, well, if she's responsible for designing this, this proves what I suspected at uni, that she's a complete genius, because it's wonderful.
She is a genius. Yeah. She is a genius. And we collaborated on two books in lockdown, and we've worked together before on various things, you know, playing cards and posters and things, and an album. But
right.
Yeah, this is our, yeah, for both of us. I mean, we're very lucky that it was a big, substantial, mad project in lockdown, which is kind of exactly what you want if you're a creative person and you manage to stumble into something like that. We're very fortunate. But yeah, I was just writing stuff about the lockdown and writing poems and writing conversations, and about this first lockdown, and then in about maybe April or May I just sent her a couple of pages and said, is it a case of a book?
She do we was have like, a case of a book here?
She was very much, oh, I would love to do a book. She loves, I mean, that's a, I think we were circling lots of different things, but her kind of main thing is to design and make a book.
Mm.
And so she did everything. She designed it. She chose the font, the layout, the size, the paper. She published the book, and then she sold the book from her studio. I mean, it was literally, to say it was a two-man operation, two-person operation, barely covers it. And so we did that, and then we sold some. And then the third lockdown started, and about 3 weeks in, I sent her a message saying, it feels like another book. That's the book that you've got now. So it's the first book is all spent in my flat. I never leave. And it's called He Is Thought as a Wife, Poems and Conversations from Inside. Mm. And in this book, it's all on the road, you know, in our 1 hour of allocated exercise.
Yes.
So constantly in that book, I'm just walking. It's in the bit where I'm outside of my flat and I never go inside.
And did you get told off by a policeman for sitting on a bench? I like to think you did. Yeah. So if you didn't, don't ruin it. Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, there was mad stuff, you know, where they were like, you know, there'd be a policeman walking towards you and you're like, obviously it's quite topical now, because as they're walking towards you, you're thinking, yes, I know, I mustn't be on this bench. I'm very sorry, officer. And, you know, where are you going? Well, I'm just finishing my hour of allocated exercise. I'm going to my house now. Mm. Okay, well, you be sure you do. I know, I will. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah. Sorry, is this the content of the book, or is this just you?
Yeah, this is just me. This is just me reflecting, you know, nostalgically. Those were the days.
But it was absolutely crazy. And this isn't to come at it in a kind of anti-lockdown sort of vibe for me, certainly. But it just was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy time.
Yeah, I do feel like it's difficult to know how much we have processed it, because you do sometimes, you know, it flashes into your mind, and you do, your face does a lot of body language where you're thinking, did that actually happen? Because when it's happening, you're sort of, you know, getting your head down and dealing with it. Yeah. And then when it stops happening, you're not really thinking about it. You're kind of thinking, good, I'm in the pub now. I'm not in that bit where we had to be in our flats for three months. So I don't know, the bit where you kind of wonder what effect it had on you. Yes. I don't know when that comes.
Why, who knows when it'll land? Who knows when it'll land? Looking through just the bit at the beginning, you've got a load of the characters who are in the book. And I really love... Well, first of all, Carol Key. Is this your mum, Carol Key?
Yeah, my mum, yeah.
Well, Welsh. She's Welsh.
She's Welsh, yeah.
You're a bit Welshy.
I'm half Welsh, yeah.
Oh, lush.
My mum's from, born in Newport.
Oh, that's my neck of the woods. All right, good, fine. That's good. I needed to know that. I feel like I've, you know, I like to collect people who've got Welsh connections. It's just a good thing to have in my head.
Yeah, very important.
But then the description of various characters, randomly one, here we go, Buddy, vast brown eyes, the heartbeat of this or any lockdown, big sunglasses. But then the description of Bobby, four now, cheeks like furnaces. Why must this young man endure a lockdown? That made me well up when I read that, because I had two small kids during lockdown, and it made me go, yes, that was it.
I know. Yeah, that's Tom Basden's son, you know, mostly.
Yes. Listen, we're going to have to wrap this up, Tim, which is annoying because your 2021 is pure filth. 164 orders.
164, yeah, it was that kind of lockdown. Why don't you just blitz a couple of them and I'll just sort of give you one-word answers.
Yeah, okay, good. Let's do a one-word 2021. Okay, great.
Yeah, let's blitz it.
2nd of April, GlowFX colour therapy glasses.
Oh, yes, that is because me, Alex and Mark play a game called No More Jockeys, Alex Horn and Mark Watson, and it's a sort of YouTube thing. And in lockdown, that sort of kept us sane, with me up on Thursday nights, get lashed and play this game on Zoom. And, you know, we'd sort of dress up, and there was lots of sunglasses, I'm sure most of these things, as we go through them, will be easier to explain, because I'll just say No More Jockeys.
Okay, good. 28th of March, 2021, the Rhino Walk 20 litre bike bag. A lovely bike bag there for Tim Key.
Bike bag. Oh yeah, panniers. But my bike was like my solace in lockdown, and then my bike broke, and then I got a new bike and then bought a pannier for it.
Thank you. 10th of March, the Dahl's 507 rotary trimmer guillotine. That's what we all call those at school. It's a lovely paper guillotine. God, I love a guillotine.
Yep. That is, I write my poems down on Word, and then I print them out on an A4 label, and then I cut them down with a guillotine, and then I stick them to the backs of cards. Next question. Come
Nothing
on,
makes me happier than
let's
using
go.
A guillotine.
Let's
All right,
go.
Yeah, good, go. good. Bluetooth shower speaker. This is 8th of March 2021. The Bluetooth speaker.
Yes, so I had a speaker in the shower. Come on, let's go. Next
okay,
one.
Okay, fine. Good. Oh, God. Pentel Tradio Pullman Black Ink. It's a lovely
Found a new pen. I was in Tokyo with Mark Watson about 3 years ago. We went there to watch the Rugby World Cup final. We found ourselves in a subway. There was a stationery shop in the subway. I tried this pen and I've never looked back. It's the pencil. And I found it again on very difficult to find on the internet. And eventually I found them and bought a few.
Your poetry pen. Okay, good. 20th of May 2021, the Stiga Royal 5-star table tennis pro carbon, the ping pong bat. That is a lovely bat.
Started playing table tennis in lockdown, not in lockdown, before lockdown. And then when it loosened each time, went to various parks and played table tennis, usually with Mark Silcox and various other comedians and things. And, you know, again, it was a real sort of life, a real positive thing in lockdown, where you had any kind of routine is always useful in those situations. And we had Saturday mornings, we'd play table tennis. And then as things started to loosen, we would go to the park and have a drink afterwards. Then we'd go to sit outside a pub and have a drink afterwards. And then eventually go inside a pub and all of that sort of stuff. And yeah, table tennis at the heart of it. And I needed a good bat.
Table tennis is the greatest, most underrated game on the planet.
It's a fantastic game. I thought I was getting quite good at it, but I've gone backwards now. But I was quite good at it for a bit. I thought I was getting quite good.
I mean this. If you ever want a game of table tennis, let's make it happen, because I'm obsessed with it.
I'd happily play you at table tennis.
Absolutely love it. Thank you. 4th of May 2021, the SodaStream 60-litre spare gas cylinder. Yep. Lovely stuff.
Love SodaStream. Love sparkling water. Bit the bullet for quite early in lockdown. Rick and Buddy, my friends, had got a really nice SodaStream, and I thought, yeah, I'll push the boat out, get that, and was just sort of doing the maths and thinking how many bottles I have to fill before I've got my money back, and yeah, I've coasted through that. I love it.
How many pushes do you use for a standard SodaStream bottle to fizz it up?
One.
Well, hang on, one long one, or just one little?
No, it's one long one, but it's not, mine isn't made by SodaStream, it's a different company, so I don't know whether it's a different thing, but it's straight down until it goes...
Yep. Yeah. Great. I will clip out that noise and make people guess what you're doing an impression of there. That's okay, great. You bought 19th of June for Bill Key, 1, 2, 3, 4, The Beatles in Time, winner of the Bale Gifford Prize. This is the Craig Brown book, which I've got right here, The Amazing Story of the Beatles.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, someone recommended it to me. I bought it for my dad.
It's a fantastic thing. Yeah. you bought... Yeah, for Alex Horn, $17.99 you spent on Alex Horn. Yeah. The President Herbert Hoover American Conservative Republican T-shirt, a President Hoover T-shirt. Yeah.
No more jockeys, can't next. No more jockeys.
You have got this is great. This is great. Oh look, we got a mouse trap. You've bought the Godmon Humane mouse trap. Well done there.
Yeah, got a mouse. Trap the mouse. Released the mouse. Mouse came back. You have to do 3 miles, I think.
Is that right? They've got a 3 mile range on them, have they?
Yeah, they come back.
Wow, I didn't know. Mouse radar takes them back.
Yeah. Not. Fine. Yep.
All right, good. Bedroom athletics. Sherpa silver boots. Maybe not as kinky as it sounds. There, 28th of December, 2021. Some lovely boots here.
I wanted some that like really, really nice. Warm, comforting slippers. That's what those are.
Absolutely wonderful. And then finally, Tim, the
final purchase.
Well, I mean, there's a few in January 2022. The final one we're going to go for, £2.48 you spent on Alex Horn again, 5 on a hike together, book 10 of the famous 5 series.
So this is No More Jockeys, and the category was, it's this game where you have to name people and eliminate categories and things like that.
Yeah.
And someone said, someone like, can't remember who they said, but they said no more people who you can find a picture of them sleeping. Later on, someone said Anne from the Famous Five, and I couldn't find a picture of her sleeping, but there's in the book it says she goes to sleep. In the synopsis of a book, so I don't have the book here, but I've sent the book to Alex to see if he can, you know, whether he's right or wrong.
I love it, Tim Key. This has been quite a long episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Yes, it has. That's just an objective comment.
Yeah,
I mean, really. I've enjoyed it for what it's worth.
I've absolutely loved this. Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really genuinely appreciate
pleasure.
It. It's been lovely to catch up. And here we go around the Mulberry Bush. An anthology of poems and conversations from outside is out now. Tim Key, thank you.
Thank you.
He's a good one, isn't he? He's a good guest. I love all my guests. Honestly, I don't feel there's a duff episode. But I love that one. How can I put this without offending other guests? I love that one as much as I've ever loved any episodes of the podcast. That's okay, isn't it? That's not going to upset anyone. I'm not revealed that I didn't really enjoy doing the Mark Dolan episode, have I? I haven't. Oh, no. So there you go. That is episode 1. We are underway. Welcome back. Series 5 is happening. I've done it. I finally pulled something out of somewhere else in my body and started interviewing people. That was Tim Key. Still to come in the next few weeks, then, I've got Nigel Planer. Fantastic episode. Really, really interesting, including a very interesting revelation as to where, physically, geographically, he came up with the idea or came up with a lot of the inspiration for Neil on The Young Ones. He's going to be on the show next week. Then we've got Ahir Shah. Oh, that's a really funny episode. He's a funny comedian as well. He's very good. Maisie Adams is coming on. Slight twist in the format. Slight twist in the tale here. I've got a bit of a surprise guest in a few weeks' time, which is... I'll tell you more about that on social media, but there's... something quite weird that's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it enormously. And guess what I'm going to say now? Patreon, Patreon. Everybody, patreon.com/toasterpod. It's only £4 a month. It makes, and I cannot emphasise this enough, a huge difference. There is someone who is booking guests for this show, and it is paid for from Patreon. So there you go. It really does make a massive difference. Thank you, thank you. It's only £4 a month, and you get loads of episodes in advance. In fact, all the episodes I've just mentioned are up on Patreon now. It's ad-free, and it really helps the show. And it's also worth mentioning that the Tim Key episodes are up now on Patreon in video form. That's right, guys. You can watch them with your eyes and listen with your ears. Patreon.com/toasterpod. That is available on all the bands, on all the tiers. I think it's £4 all in, and you can watch a vid of, the best bit is Tim Key struggling to work his microphone. It's tremendously good fun. So if you get to do that, you are the best. If you don't worry about it. No big deal. All right, then. Did you get the cold stare? Yeah, cool. At ToasterPod on Twitter, as ever, and we'll see you next week. Bye! Oh, by the way, what did you think of the theme tune? Do you like it? You better have to. Let me know.